Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times filling in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Welcome one and all. Members of the Savage Nation, Michael is taking a much-needed day off. He is going to get some needed R&R, but he'll be back tomorrow recharged and ready to go full steam ahead. We have a jam-packed show for you today. My friends, you have to go to michaelsavage.com. There are some sizzling, scintillating stories, cutting-edge stuff you just have to read. One of them, Obama's nice guy act is getting him nowhere on world stage. This is a key story about Obama's failed foreign policy, and this criticism is coming not from the right, but from the left in Europe, from Der Spiegel in Germany. It is a must-read, and there are so many other good stories. Please go to michaelsavage.com for all the latest information on all the cutting-edge stories of the day. Michael, my friend, it has been such an honor and a privilege to fill in for you time and time again. And every time I am asked to fill in for you, I have to tell you, I feel, and to speak to your wonderful listeners, and to have the honor and privilege of trying to fill in and to stand here and to try to pick up the baton just for one show after all of the heroic work that you've been doing for the last 15 years in talk radio, and especially over the last couple years with this disgusting, morally repulsive, frankly scandalous ban that Britain has put you on their blacklist. You are a hero, my friend. You are a champion. You are a man with a large heart, and I just want to thank you once again for the incredible opportunity and the honor of filming. But just to even be on this show is just such a wonderful opportunity for me, and it humbles me very much, and I want to thank you so much. For all of you out there, the key issue of the day today, if you haven't heard already, is that the Fort Hood shooter, the mass terrorist, Nidal Hassan, has now come out with potentially his legal defense. Now, stand back for a second. This is a man who, on that fateful day on November 5, to me, a day that will go down in infamy as 9/11 did, walked in to a crowded medical detention facility where our brave men and women were lining up to get their final vaccinations, their final dental and vision checkups, before they were to be deployed to fight and die in the mountains and caves of Afghanistan or the deserts of Iraq. And as our brave men and women stood there, defenseless, because of this ridiculous ban on handguns and weapons on military bases, they were like sheep to the slaughter. As they stood in line, this man walked in there with two pistols, loaded, and fired off over 100 rounds. It was a massacre. It was a slaughter. And as our men and women lay on the ground, he recharged and reloaded his guns and began killing people to finish them off as they were withering in pain, yelling and screaming out in pain. 13 dead. One unborn child was murdered as well. Woman was a couple months pregnant, her first child, who will never see a day of life forever. and 29 wounded. And we have now learned that this man, Nidal Hassan, is going to make a mockery of our justice system. His lawyer has now come out and said that there is a very good possibility that Hassan is going to plead insanity. That's right. He's going to use the Twinkie defense. He is so crazy that this is what propelled him. Insanity propelled him to do what he did. And let me predict to you right now what the defense is going to be. That he was under so much pressure as an army psychiatrist, listening to people, troops coming back from the war, from the front, telling their horror stories of mass atrocities being committed by our soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq against fellow Muslims, that vicariously he got a form of post-traumatic stress disorder, or what now the liberals are using, I've never heard this term before, but now they're using this term, pre-traumatic stress disorder. He didn't even go to a battlefield. He never even saw action a day in his life. But just the thought of going there and listening to all of these supposed horror stories of the front, of the fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, so deranged him, so psychologically and emotionally unbalanced him, that now this man was compelled beyond his control, a madman, to pick up guns and scream and shout out, Allahu Akbar, God is great, as he slaughtered our innocent men and women, our defenseless, brave men and women in our armed services. And more than that, they are then going to claim that he was the victim of constant harassment and discrimination, that the years of people questioning his Muslim identity, of being harassed for his Arab-American background, that it was racism that pushed him over the edge. It was discrimination that pushed him over the edge. In other words, the defense is going to be society is guilty. We are all guilty. This is a form of political correctness run wild. This is a form of madness. Now, just think about this for a second. 13 people are now dead. 14 if you count the unborn baby. 29 are wounded. The families of those dead, brave men and women are never going to see their sons and daughters again. That is gone. Forever. Those 29 wounded, their lives are shattered forever. And yet this man is going to get a lawyer in front of a military tribunal, and he is going to use our twisted judicial system where we now grant potentially the right of insanity, the plea of insanity, for him to get off or for him to maybe be institutionalized in some kind of a mental hospital where he's going to be given 3 square meals a day, all the cable television you can get, and he can write letters and emails praising jihad till the cows come home. Or until he meets supposedly his 72 virgins in heaven. Whatever comes first. This is what has happened to the United States of America. This is the mockery that they are making of this country. And the question that I have is this. Have you no shame? To the lawyer, John Galligan, have you no shame, sir? Have you no shame? I understand every murderer needs a lawyer, but this was not any murder. This was an act of war against the United States of America. This was an act of war, the worst terrorist mass atrocity since 9/11. This was a man who we now have learned was in contact with a top Al-Qaeda recruiter in Yemen. A crazed cleric, an American-born and American-raised cleric who called for jihad, who said it was the duty of every Muslim to kill American soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan and wherever in the world. This is a man who passed out business cards for years, saying, calling himself a soldier of Allah. This was a man who in PowerPoint presentation said, "We love death more than you love life." This was a man who praised holy war and jihad. This was a man who openly said to his colleagues, his classmates, his superiors, anybody that would listen to him, "I am a Muslim first and an American second. I do not respect your constitution. What I respect is Sharia law, and we will have Sharia law, both here in America and all over the world." And as he told many of his classmates, which sickened them to their stomach, and who went and complained, this man has openly told us that he supports the Muslim fanatics and terrorists and insurgents in Afghanistan and Iraq. They are, quote, fighting for an Islamist state, which is the goal of every Muslim in the world, according to this nutcase, Nidal Hassan. And now this lawyer comes out and is now going to use the insanity defense? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No. If this Nidal Hassan had even an ounce of honor, had even an ounce of integrity, had even an ounce of courage, he would plead guilty. He would say, "Hang me. Send me to my paradise. Send me to my beloved Allah and all the grapes I can eat and my 72 virgins." But no, the coward that he is now going to use our judicial system against us. And this is why we as Americans now have to ask the most important question of all. Can political correctness, can our skewed judicial system, is that adequate? Can that confront the rising threat of radical Islam? Because my friends, if this man wins on this insanity plea, if in court they say, you know what, he is not guilty, he is insane, this is an open season for every jihadist in the world and here in the United States to start slaughtering Americans by the hundreds and by the thousands. Because there will be no punishment. There will just be some padded institutional room with all the cable television and all the Islamic literature and all the baklava these guys can get their hands on. And my friends, we as Americans should demand that there is justice in this case. And we should say loudly and clearly, if you slaughter American civilians, especially our military, here on American soil, there is only one place for you, and that is the death penalty. So I want to hear from you, all of you on the Savage Nation. Do you believe that Hassan's potential plea of insanity will work? Do you believe it will enable him to escape justice? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for the talk radio heavyweight champion of the world, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times filling in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number to call, 1-800-449-8255. You know, my friends, what I find even more chilling about all of this is not only is Nidal Hassan going to be able to try to push through an insanity plea, he is going to do this in a military tribunal or in a military commission. In other words, Nidal Hassan is going to be tried in a military tribunal, which has much stricter and more severe conditions regarding what kind of evidence can be admitted, while Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his fellow 9/11 terrorists are going to be tried in a civilian court in New York, where they are going to be able to get classified information on how we, the American government, gather intelligence and even some of our major operations in terms of the sources of where getting this information from and what is happening to some of our people who are undercover. This could blow up right in our face. and potentially expose damaging, sensitive, classified information that we have gathered on Al-Qaeda for years. Because KCM's attorney, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's attorney, is going to be able to demand all kinds of information from the prosecution and from the government to defend his client. And more than that, just today, if you go to michaelsavage.com, there is a story that I urge all of you to read. It is a story. You want to see the dangers of political correctness. You want to see the potential, the massive threat to our national security and our very existence posed by politically correct liberalism. Go to this story on michaelsavage.com. Believe me, it is something that will make your skin crawl. Red diaper lawyer gloats 9/11 rats to use trial to attack U.S. One of the lawyers of the five men that's going to be tried in New York has now openly come out and said that not only will his client, but so will Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and all the other terrorists, those the gang of five, are going to plead not guilty. Oh, they will admit that they did the 9/11 attacks, that they were the mastermind and the plotters and the perpetrators of 9/11. There's no question about that. But no, they want to plead not guilty because, quote unquote, they want a platform to attack American foreign policy. In other words, they are going to do everything in their power to humiliate, degrade, and criticize the United States. They will now play to the Islamic world, and they will try to turn Khalid Sheikh Mohammed into a martyr for every radical jihadist there is. And so my question to all of you is a very simple one. Why is it that a man who has murdered 3,000 Americans, the mastermind of 9/11, gets to go to a civilian trial with more rights and privileges than the man who murdered 13 people, a U.S. citizen? Remember, Nadal Hassan is a U.S. citizen. Why the discrepancy? Why the double standard? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number to call, 1-800-449-8255. Do you believe that political correctness is inhibiting our ability to fight the war on terror? I want to hear from you, members of the Savage Nation. To me, it is the chutzpah of some of these lawyers that are now coming out to defend these scumbags, these butchers, these animals, to me is beyond repulsive. Check out this Harvard lawyer, this shyster lawyer, Scott Fenstermaker. He is coming out and saying that there is a smear campaign. Check this out. A smear campaign on the 9/11 suspects. He is a lawyer for one of the terrorists who will be alongside Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in New York. And what he is saying is that he is going to ask that his client plead not guilty so he can hold the American government in contempt and criticize the American government for its policies toward the Muslim world and toward the Middle East. Check out this sleazy shyster lawyer. Boys, roll the clip.
From the day that they were captured until the moment that I'm speaking to you right now has been used as a platform by the United States government to espouse its propaganda. If they have an opportunity to, for a few brief moments, to respond to our propaganda, then I say it's about time.
Yep. Can you believe that? This is an American. You want to talk about the moral sickness of a Marxist socialist Harvard lawyer like this guy, Fenstermaker. Here it is in all of its depravity. The issue here, according to Fenstermaker, is that after we've captured Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and held him in Guantanamo Bay, we were using them for propaganda purposes. Let me make it clear for you. This man was the mastermind of 3,000 dead Americans, of the worst attack on the American homeland in over two centuries. And we've been using them as a propaganda ploy? What are you smoking? That's the problem with all you ex-hippie 60s lawyers. You've done so much dope, you've done so much drugs, that frankly, you can't think straight. If there ever was a clearer example of what Dr. Savage has been talking about, that liberalism is a mental disorder, this guy Fenstermaker is the poster child for liberalism is a mental disorder. Let's go to the phones. Again, the number is 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Fidel in San Antonio. Fidel, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Mr. Cooner? You know, I served 8 years in the Marine Corps of Sergeant Alcosis. You know, I just turned on the Savage Nation right now, and I happen to live in San Antonio. You know, Major Hassan, he's at Banffy right now. So as you're talking about the situation, I'm staring at Banffy, and I'm disgusted. You know, it's what I can't understand why the government is protecting this terrorist. I mean, honestly, he is a terrorist, but they're treating him. You know, if he's going to go ahead and plead the insanity, you're absolutely right. It's going to open the door. It's going to flood.
Oh yeah, I mean it's. Fidel, I want to thank you for that call, my friend. Look, this is going to unleash the floodgates. This is the insanity of political correctness. It is destroying this country. We are unilaterally disarming. I mean, we might as well put up a sign, bomb our buildings, kill our soldiers, hell, rape our women. You want my wife? Take my wife. I mean, this is to me how utterly depraved and insane multicultural liberalism has become. This guy is now going to plea an insanity defense. And to me, what I find most disgusting is he's sitting in that hospital in San Antonio, round-the-clock treatment. He's got nurses dotting on him. He's got people worried about him. His lawyer is complaining. It's unbelievable. His lawyer is coming out today saying, why did we have to rush this hearing in a hospital room? We could have waited another week. My client is paralyzed. He's not going anywhere. We don't give a damn whether he's going anywhere. This guy should fry for what he did. This guy's got the blood of 13 dead American men and women on his hands. I don't give a damn about whether this guy should wait another week or not. But they are making a mockery of this country. They are using our judicial system against us. And this is why, at their core, they are in some ways smarter than we are. They're more tenacious than we are. They are using our freedoms, and they are using our moral relativism against us. America, it is time to wake up. How many more Fort Hoods, how many more 9/11s have to happen before we realize we are in a war to the finish? This is a battle between a clash of civilizations. It is radical Islam versus the West. Until we wake up and realize that, there's only one side that can win. Either they'll be standing in the end or we will. Wake up, America. Jason in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Jeff, pleasure to speak with you. Seems to be like another example with the political correctness that is out there of another way that the current administration is going to put on trial our past administrations, namely the Bush. It seems like we no longer have the spine in order to, as they say, call the kettle black. I mean, this man, he walked into one of our bases as a uniformed soldier and shot 13 of our troops. We're no longer able to actually stand back and say, well, you did this, this, and this. You will get this punishment. They're going to go after an insanity plea, which, sadly, I feel that he has a high chance of getting. And I think what we're getting out of this, I think we're going to wind up with a precedent-setting case with both this, you know, with the Colonel's case and with KSM, where now you can come in, not, you know, with one, he was a citizen, you know, with the World Trade, they were not citizens, that you can come in and you can do these heinous acts to us, and we will no longer punish you.
Jason, you're going to get a lawyer. If you come in here and murder Americans, you're going to get a lawyer. Uncle Sam is going to pick up the tab. You can either have an insanity defense or you can pull a Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Go to a civilian court, get access to all our classified information, showboat in front of the cameras. This is going to be Al-Qaeda meets O.J. Simpson. Our Attorney General Eric Holder, think of the weirdness of this. Just how weird, how bizarre this is. This, he says, quote, it's going to be the trial of the century. What is this? What is this, reality TV? The trial of the century? You think this is some crazy football player coked to the gills who murders his wife? This is what this is to you? Some kind of a trial for Fox News and CNN? What about the victims, the family members? What about those that lost loved ones on 9/11? And to have to see this guy, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, day after day, stand there and gloat. And his own, the lawyers are now saying, oh, no, we're going to claim not guilty. Oh, we're guilty, but we're going to claim not guilty because we want to now embarrass the United States. We want to put the Bush administration on trial. And you know the arguments they're going to use? The arguments the liberal left has been using for the entire Bush presidency. We are a nation of war criminals. We are a nation that tortures. We are a nation that immorally and illegally invaded Iraq. No, the problem is not Saddam Hussein. The problem is not Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. The problem is not Osama bin Laden. It's George Bush. It's Dick Cheney. That's the argument they're going to use. And they're going to do this day after day after day. And then what is Obama going to say to the world? This shows the strength of American values. Mr. President, this is not about playing to the Hollywood left. This is not about playing to the op-ed pages of the New York Times or the BBC or Le Monde in France. This is about defending the American homeland. This is about defending the American nation. This is about defending those innocent victims. What was their crime on 9/11, I ask all of you? What did they do? They got up and they went. They were good, decent, salt-of-the-earth Americans. That was it. And that's why they were targeted. And now we have one butcher who's going to claim insanity and maybe get off because of our crazed politically correct culture. And we're going to have another guy who's going to showboat year after year, grind this thing on, and stand there and indict American foreign policy. And who knows? He's going to claim he wasn't given a fair trial. And you know what? He wasn't read his Miranda rights. And you know what? In the crazy liberal jurisdiction of New York, he also may get off. This is the insanity of our times. This is the mental disorder of liberalism, as Dr. Savage so eloquently and incisively put it. And I, for one, say enough is enough. We conservatives should now say loudly and clearly, when you are now dealing with the American homeland, when you are now dealing with the lives of American soldiers and American civilians, we will now put country and the national interest above ideology. We are not liberals. We are not conservatives. We are Americans. And it's about time Obama got the memo. Let's go to Cheryl in Mississippi. Cheryl, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. I just want to make a point that Hassan was a military officer. He took an oath. So why isn't he called a traitor? Why are we using political correctness to even figure out if he's a terrorist? He's a traitor, number one. He took up arms against fellow soldiers. Why don't we start there?
Cheryl, that's a brilliant point, Cheryl. And I want to thank you for that call. You're completely right. We can't even call him a terrorist. So stand back for a second. You send emails to an Al-Qaeda imam, a top recruiter for Al-Qaeda. This is a man, Anwar Awlaki, this guy who's now living in Yemen. All right, an American-born, American-raised radical imam, a radicalized American, a terrorist, now lives in Yemen. He is standing there on his English website, which is read all over Canada, all over the United States, all over Britain by radical Muslims everywhere. And he is telling people, jihad, 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 the glories of jihad, destroy the American infidel, kill them in Iraq, kill them in Afghanistan, kill them in your homeland. Kill him wherever you can. This guy Hassan sends 18 emails. FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force knew about it. Hey, you speak to terrorists, I speak to terrorists. Hey, let 1,000 flowers bloom. It's not my cup of tea, maybe, but hey, if he wants to speak to a jihadist, let him speak to a jihadist. He comes in after having contact with Al-Qaeda, after going on one jihadist website after another. After telling anybody who will listen that he is a soldier of Allah, he screams out, Allahu Akbar, God is great, slaughters 13 men and women. And our commander-in-chief, most of the mainstream media, our attorney general, nobody can say it's a terrorist act. If it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, if it has a neon sign on its forehead saying I'm a duck, or in this case, I'm a terrorist. Call it a terrorist. Call it a duck. But we can't do that. Never mind take the next logical step, which is here is a man in the army who was promoted. How much discrimination could this guy have faced? He keeps claiming, oh, for the last couple of years, now in all of your press account, oh, he was discriminated against. His family members are coming out. Oh, he hated the military. Oh, it was tough, especially after 9/11. Discrimination at every 1930s and the 1940s, how bad it was. But by every evaluation, he stunk at his job. He was complete. He was pathetic. He wasn't mediocre. He was a lousy shrink. But they promoted him. They made him into a major. He took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. He took an oath to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Cheryl, you are completely right. This man is the walking definition of a traitor. And now this traitor is going to make his final betrayal against the American people, the final betrayal against the American Constitution. He's going to be like a coward. And he's going to hide behind the insanity defense. And you know what? All those dumb multicultural liberals, all of those socialists are going to stand there and say, well, that's his right. That's his right. No, it isn't his right. In the old days, under George Washington and under Andrew Jackson, when this country was a real country, you know what we did with traitors? We hung them. That's it. We hung them. Pure and simple. And that's what this man deserves. He deserves to be hung because his crime was the worst crime of all. It was against the American people and the Constitution of the United States. This man is not only a terrorist scum, but he is a traitor to boot. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the talk radio heavyweight champion of the world, Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Is political correctness inhibiting our ability to fight the war on terror? I want to hear from you, members of the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Scott in Florida. Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, how are you? I'm a long-time listener, but a first-time caller. I can never get through. Anyways, I agree with sort of what you're saying. However, in our Constitution, every person, no matter if they're foreign, well, especially if they're American, does have the right to say not guilty, even if he's 100% guilty. He does have the right, and there has to be a lawyer by law to represent them. So you can't blame
now,
the
Scott, lawyer.
Scott,
are you talking about Hassan or are you talking about KSM? KSM is basically going to argue that his lawyer is going to say he's not guilty. Hassan is going to argue a plea of insanity. So are you talking about Hassan or are you talking about KSM?
Does he not?
Are you talking about Nidal Hassan or are you talking about KSM?
No, I'm talking about the one at Fort Hood.
Okay, the one at Fort Hood. Look, Scott, under our Constitution, I want to thank you for that call, my friend. Under the Constitution, yes, every American citizen is entitled to a defense. He is going to have a defense. He's going to have a lawyer given to him. My point is a different one. This man is now going to claim insanity. How can he make that claim? He rose through the ranks of the military. He apparently seemed to be functioning on a day-to-day basis. He seemed to be able to go and treat people. They were confident enough that they were sending our boys and our girls returning from Iraq and Afghanistan with post-traumatic stress disorder to be treated by this shrink. He was apparently sane enough to go around and give out cards saying he's a soldier of Allah. He's apparently good enough to give PowerPoint presentations saying how he loves death more than we love life. He's apparently smart enough and sane enough to go around and criticize American foreign policy. So where is the insanity? There is none. And this is the problem. You see, liberals think it was the first reaction. I remember Larry King. Larry King was on that night. And he had, of all the terrorist experts in the world, he has Dr. Phil, Mr. Relationship, on his show. And right away, the argument was made by all these liberals, led by Dr. Phil and Larry King. Only an insane man could do this. No. Osama bin Laden is not insane. He's evil. Just as Hitler was evil. But he's not insane. According to the radical jihadist worldview, according to the jihadist ideology, what Hassan did was perfectly logical and natural. If you believe you are in a war against the infidel, if you believe it is your goal to spread Sharia law, if you believe it is your goal to impose a world Muslim empire and destroy Western civilization, what he did was perfectly rational. It was profoundly evil. It was profoundly immoral. It was profoundly perverse. But it's the logical culmination of a jihadist worldview. We are in an ideological war. When the communists murdered nearly 100 million people, they were not madmen. They were sane, political, ruthless operatives. They were people who were out to impose their murderous ideology on the world. This is what Marxism and communism leads to, mass murder, just as Nazism leads to mass murder. Radical Islam leads to mass murder. That's it. It's that simple. But to the liberal multicultural worldview, they can't understand that because they are so parochial. They are so filled with moral relativism. They cannot understand the nature of evil. And this is the crisis of our time. We have a political elite that does not understand evil is among us right here in the United States. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times filling in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. To all of you out there listening, I strongly urge you go to michaelsavage.com. There are some absolutely groundbreaking, sizzling stories you can't find anywhere else. The big one and the topic of the hour has been the attempt by the Democratic leadership to essentially purchase the state of Louisiana by effectively bribing Senator Mary Landrieu, Louisiana Democrat. Go to michaelsavage.com. You will have the latest on the healthcare debate, some of the best stories and the best analysis. Michael, my friend, if you are listening, thank you so much for allowing me the privilege and the honor of guest hosting for you. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it every time. You have a spectacular show, and you have absolutely spectacular listeners. And for your generosity and for your courage and for continuing the fight for conservative values that I and your listeners hold dear, I want to thank you. You're a national treasure, my friend, and I just hope you continue with this for many more years to come. You truly are the living legend. Members of the Savage Nation, on Saturday night at 8 p.m., the Senate of the United States, I believe, now crossed a fundamental Rubicon. It now took us one step closer towards socialized medicine. With everything at stake, with 40 Republicans voting lockstep against the Senate health care bill, which has in it the government-run option, the public insurance option, that will wreck the greatest system of medical care the world has ever seen and implement the complete takeover, eventually, of one-sixth of our economy and lead to rationing and higher premiums and higher taxes. In other words, it is the death knell of traditional America as we know it. It is the final piece of the puzzle to bring about a European-style nanny state, a European socialist democracy right here on American shores. That vote, that decision to send it to the floor of the Senate to be debated, hung in the balance. And there were now 56 liberal Democrats who said, yes, bring it to the floor, let us vote for it. Let us ram it through the Senate, ram it through Congress, ram it down your throats and onto Obama's desk for his signature. Four moderate Democrats stood in the way. Blanche Lincoln from Arkansas, Senator Joe Lieberman from Connecticut, who's technically an independent but caucuses with the Democrats, Ben Nelson from Nebraska, and Mary Landrieu from Louisiana. And as I watched the debate on that day unfold, one by one, like rats deserting a sinking ship, every one of these moderate Democrats abandoned their so-called fiscal conservative principles, their supposed deficit hawk principles, and voted for this bill to go to the Senate floor and now bring Obama one step closer to his cherished dream of a socialist state here in America. And the one that I found most repulsive and most galling was the Louisiana purchase of Mary Landrieu. Senator Landrieu claimed, and I thought courageously, for weeks before that vote, that many of her constituents in Louisiana believed that this bill would destroy the budget deficit, would impose a massive new entitlement upon the United States, and that the public option would destroy capitalist medicine in this country. It will essentially effectively bankrupt and drive out every private insurer from the medical marketplace. And yet, when push came to shove, what the Obama administration did, through classic Chicago-style politics, it's the Chicago way, they essentially put $300 million on the table. And they said, Senator Landrieu, what's your price? Name me your price. And they started off at $100 million, and by the time she was done, it went up to $300 million. And so, on that fateful day, they inserted a provision into the bill that the state of Louisiana would get now $300 million in extra funding for that state, particularly for Medicaid expenses. Remember, this is money that is your money, my money, it is our money. It is taxpayer dollars that are being used to bribe and buy off politician after politician to support a health care bill that most Americans do not want. As the story on the Savage Nation points out, for the first time, according to the latest Rasmussen poll, support for this health care bill has fallen under 40%. It is now at 38% and dropping like a stone. Over 56% of Americans are strongly opposed to this bill. Mr. President, we don't want socialized medicine. The message could not be louder or clearer. And yet, despite the growing popular opposition, despite the Tea Parties, despite the town hall meetings, despite the defection of seniors, of independents, of moderates, the Democratic leadership led by Reid, Pelosi, and Obama insist on ramming this bill down our throats. For them, it is socialized medicine or bust. And now the Obama administration has rolled the dice. They have now staked everything on this vote. They have now staked everything on passing nationalized health care. For Obama, it is the crown jewel of his domestic agenda. It is now his attempt to seize the mantle of FDR and become the greatest liberal socialist president in the history of the United States, to do what Kennedy couldn't do, to do what Bill Clinton couldn't do, to do what even the great FDR couldn't do, to nationalize our healthcare system, to bring about the final triumph of big government liberalism. And now staffers on Capitol Hill are calling what Mary Landrieu did the Louisiana Purchase. This, my friends, was bribery and political corruption of the highest order. This was a politician who, rather than voting her principles, who rather than voting for the interests and the values and the desires of her people in her state, now said, here is my price. This is what I can be bought off with. And then, what is to me the absolute chutzpah of it all, what is to me the shamelessness of it all, she then went on the Senate floor and said, oh yes, I'm going to vote for this bill to go to the Senate floor. But wink, wink, Democratic leadership, wink, wink, Mr. Reid, wink, wink, Mr. Christopher Dodd, wink, wink, Mr. Obama and dead fish Rahm Emanuel, I may not vote for the final bill unless there are changes that I want to see implemented here. Meaning, you got to give me more. The chips that you've given me, the brown bag stuffed with $300 million, that's not enough. And what is now happening is that these moderate Democrats are now telling the Obama administration, we are for sale. If you can give me the right price, if I can prostitute myself, politically prostitute myself for the right price, I'm yours. Take me to bed. Take me to political bed. We can have nationalized medicine and damn the consequences. This is a betrayal of the American Republic. This is a betrayal of the American people. This is a betrayal of traditional America. And so my question to all of you, members of the Savage Nation, is do you believe that Mary Landrieu's decision to essentially have her vote bought off for $300 million. Do you believe that this will now usher in a feeding frenzy for many other moderate Democrats to pillage away at the Senate health care bill and extract even more concessions? Do you believe that this bill ultimately will pass, or will we conservatives be able to derail it? The number to call, 1-800-449-8255. Again, the number is 1-800-449-8255. Can we conservatives stop this march towards socialized medicine? I want to hear from you, members of the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number to call, 1-800-449-8255. Do you believe that conservatives can stop the Democrats' march to socialized medicine? I want to hear from you. You know, members of the Savage Nation, to me, what I just find absolutely galling is how many key liberal Democratic senators are now trying to deny the obvious. No, when Mary Landrieu asked for the $300 million for her state of Louisiana, this was not an attempt to buy votes. Absolutely not. This is a very complicated, complex issue. And so for the liberal Democrats, you don't understand. This is like making a sausage. This is a complicated process. You may not like the way it looks. You may not like the way it seems, but you're going to love the final product. look at the way they're trying to spin away from the obvious that this was political bribery and political prostitution at its worst. Here is Senator Sherrod Brown, Ohio Democrat, on CNN. Check this guy out. Roll the clips, boys.
It isn't. I mean, this bill is extraordinarily complicated. This legislation is, as Gene said at the outset of the show, 50 years, you could maybe even say 75 years. Franklin Roosevelt attempted it. Harry Truman really attempted it in earnest.
But is it important enough to buy votes?
I don't say it that way. I think there are a lot of things that we all go to the leader and talk about things in our state. And news reports sometimes aren't accurate about what might have been done for somebody or what might not have been done for somebody. I want to see this bill pass. Nobody likes any kinds of deals. I think anything that's done needs to be in the best interest of those states and this country.
Yep. Nobody likes to see any of those kinds of deals, but that's just life. That's how Washington works. No, excuse me, Mr. Brown. Excuse me. You are using our money to bribe elected officials to vote the way you want them to vote. This is the moral and political sewer of Chicago politics brought to Capitol Hill. If this is not bribery, if this is not corruption, if this is not buying off votes, then nothing is. But again, if we can't call terrorism for what it is, why should we call bribery for what it is? And you know, it makes me to think. Let me be very blunt and very confessional with all of you out there in the Savage Nation. I am a deeply practicing Catholic. For me, my faith is not just a form of heaven insurance. It's not like many Catholics, or frankly, many Christians, who just go to church on Sunday for 1 hour to basically put a down payment on their heaven insurance policy and then go out and play golf or go out and hit the restaurants or stand there and watch football for 12 hours all day. My faith is something that is integral to who I am. It is integral to my very identity. It is the reason why I became a journalist at the Washington Times. It is the reason why I feel morally obligated and compelled to speak truth to power, no matter what the consequences. And to be even doubly frank, I have had people from foreign governments, whether it be the Russian government, whether it be the Serbian government, whether it be the Croatian government, put death threats on me and my family because I have tried to expose corruption in Eastern Europe. And here I have faced the hate that has come from key people, both in the Hillary Clinton team and in the Obama team. If I'm not on Obama's enemies list, to be perfectly frank, I should be on his enemies list because I've been hitting him day after day after day. And yet I have to ask myself, Louisiana is at least nominally a Catholic state. It was originally a French colony. We purchased it from Napoleon. There are a lot of Catholics in Louisiana. I don't know the religion of either Mary Landrieu or the Republican Senator David Vitter, but I suspect they're probably Catholic. And here it is about Louisiana. This is what I don't understand about Louisiana. Here you have Congressman David Vitter, a supposed conservative Republican, who was caught with a prostitute, who betrayed his wife and his fundamental oath to be loyal to his wife. And he didn't just have sex with a mistress. He had it with a sleazy hooker. And here you have Mary Landrieu, who essentially sold her soul and committed political prostitution to win $300 million. That was her price. That was her asking price to get her into political bed with Rahm Deadfish Emanuel and with Barack Hussein Obama. Who do you believe in a confessional committed the greater sin? David Vitter or Mary Landrieu? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for the talk radio heavyweight champion of the world, and may I add, the undisputed talk radio heavyweight champion of the world, Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Who do you believe committed the greater crime, the greater sin? Senator David Vitter, conservative Republican, who slept with a prostitute and betrayed his wife? Or Senator Mary Landrieu, also from Louisiana, a Democrat who committed political prostitution on the Senate floor and basically sold her vote on Saturday for $300 million. I want to hear from you, 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Sheila in Texas. Sheila, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. Yes, I think she sold herself out. She sold out the U.S. I mean, we're losing our country, and as far as I'm concerned, her sin was greater because she sold out her whole state for money. She needs to be put in prison.
Sheila, I have to tell you, as a Catholic, there are many Catholics that would agree with you, and I agree with you. I think the worst possible sin you can commit, although don't get me wrong, I do truly believe that being unfaithful to your wife is a very, very serious sin. And being unfaithful to your wife, we saw that clearly under the Clinton years. It's an argument that I made and that frankly drove liberals berserk. If you will be continuously unfaithful to your wife, if you are a sexual predator, if you will betray your wife continuously, you will eventually betray your country. And that's what Bill Clinton did to the United States of America throughout the entire 1990s, whether it be on selling missile technology to China or turning a blind eye to the gathering storm of radical Islam and the threat posed by Al-Qaeda. But the greatest sin of all is a social sin, is a sin where you damage not just your wife, not just your children, but your entire community and your people. And what Mary Landrieu did was she sold the United States of America, as you so eloquently put it, right down the river. She betrayed her country. She stood there and she said, even though I believe this bill will bankrupt the United States, even though its costs will be much more than $1 trillion to what those Democratic shysters are lying, it's not going to be $850 billion. It won't be $1.2 billion, as Nancy Pelosi says. It's going to be closer to $2-2.5 trillion, and everybody knows it. And it is money that we don't have. And we are now mortgaging the future of our children and our grandchildren. And yet, even though I believe that the public option is a disaster for the United States, it will lead to rationing. It will lead to long lines. It will lead to people being denied care. It will lead to turning us into a second-tier, third-tier country. I, Mary Landrieu, am going to take this $300 million, and I'm going to take the money and run. I'm just going to run. And I'm going to say yes. Take it to the Senate floor. And let's stuff it with more pork barrel projects. Let's stuff it with more handouts to corrupt, greedy politicians. Let's give more goodies away that we can't afford. What she did was she not only emboldened the Obama Democrats to ram nationalized health care down our throats, she made it an open season for other corrupt Democrats to stick their hands out and gouge you, the American taxpayer. This was political bribery right there in front of the entire eyes of the nation. And you know what? We as Americans have become so desensitized to this kind of political prostitution, to this kind of political scandal, it barely has generated any peep of outrage. Well, I for one say enough is enough. We have sold our country down the river. We have illegal aliens walking across our border every day. We have outsourced all of our jobs to India and China. We have betrayed the fundamental principles of this country. We have Wall Street that has plundered us for hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars. And yet nobody wants to stand up and fight for the American nation, for the American heartland, for you who work every day and play by the rules and try to put bread on the table for your family. Who stands up for us? Who's our lobbyist? No, this is a city full of whores and pimps and prostitutes. and they're willing to sell everybody down the river. Well, my friends, you want to know what conservatism is about? You want to know what Jeff Kooner is about? It's about standing up and saying, I'm sorry, but this country is better than that. We are Americans first and foremost. The nation comes first. The Constitution comes first. The American people come first. Excuse me, Mrs. Landrieu. Excuse me, Mr. Reed. We are not here to serve you. You are here to serve us. Now, either do the job that we want you to do or get lost and get out of the way. Let's go to Chris in San Diego. Chris, you are on the Savage Nation, my friend.
Thank you for your open profession of faith. It's not heard enough, and God bless you for saying that.
Thank you, Chris.
Quickly, my comment is, well, the congresswoman from Louisiana...
Chris, be careful. It's a family show, my friend.
She just totally screwed the entire country. And put it in those terms, yeah, definitely what she did was 300 million times worse than what any one person, although I don't condone what he did, could have ever done. And if the Louisiana people aren't putting the pressure on her and outrage, sure, they're going to benefit from this $300 million. There's no question they're going to benefit from it. But look at what it's going to cost to the rest of the country. At what cost does this no longer become responsibility? That's gone. That's so gone out the window nowadays.
No, Chris, look, you're completely right. They have shafted. She has shafted the American people. He shafted his wife and his children. This is the difference between the two of them. And the thing about Mary Landrieu that I find most despicable, here's where actually, ironically, I disagree with you, Chris. I don't believe she did her state of Louisiana a favor. I know in the short term it may seem that way. Yeah, she got $300 million extra money. It's welfare money. That's all it was. It's Medicaid expenses. It's just to throw more people, you know what, to make more people addicted to big government. It's what Democrats have been doing for the last 70 years. They don't give a damn about the poor. They don't give a damn about the working class. They never did. They don't care about African Americans. The greatest lie of the 20th century, of all the lies that the Democrats have peddled, let me tell you the one that I believe is the greatest because it's done the most damage, is that Democrats care about African Americans. The welfare state has destroyed black communities. It has destroyed black families. It has made them addicted to big government. It is the political equivalent of crack cocaine. And so what she's doing is she's just distributing welfare. It's destroying their character. It's destroying their sense of self-reliance. It is making them dependent upon the government. It is again turning them into a form of political and economicalize it. My question to all African Americans is a simple one. You've had 70 years of the welfare state. You've had, what, 40 years of the Great Society. We have spent, listen, quote me exactly here, because trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I was a former professor before I became a journalist. Not billions, trillions with the T in welfare money and the supposed war on poverty. You feeling any better off? You look at all these African-American communities, especially in the inner cities, it is infested with crime, with drugs, with rampant poverty. The welfare state has done nothing but cripple you as a community. And why should you, here, maybe the truest of all Americans, you who have sacrificed so much for this country, you, whenever we called upon you to fight for America, even though you were discriminated against, even though you had the disgusting legacy of slavery, even though you had the disgusting legacy of segregation, you always volunteered. You always came up and showed you were Americans first. Don't you deserve better? Don't you deserve to be like every other ethnic group in the United States? Have your own businesses, have entrepreneurship, have individual responsibility, and rise up and seize your economic destiny and achieve the American dream honestly and not rely on some government handout. Mary Landrieu is just putting you back into the plantation. She's crippling you. And this is what Mary Landrieu sold her soul for? I have no respect for her. Let's go to Tony in Las Vegas. Tony, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. I'd have to say also, out off the bat, I enjoy you as much as Michael, sir. I hope he doesn't hear that, though.
Thanks, Tony. Tony, I'll be very frank with you, really. He has revolutionized talk radio. I cannot shine his shoes. He is the master. I am the student. And I really want to stress that. But, Tony, thanks for the compliment. I appreciate it.
Anyway, the other side of the issue is the fact that this health care, Obamacare nonsense is so awful that the idea of debating it has gone out the window, and they're just basically bribing people to vote for it. I mean, I don't think anybody's really spoken about that today. I might have missed it because, like, I joined the show late. But, I mean, think about that for a minute, that they know debate is out of the question. Nobody can sit with a straight face and say this is good for our country. So they went around the corner and they said, you know what, we'll pay everybody we have to off to get this passed. And I think,
Tony, you are dead right. You couldn't be more right. This is the Chicago way. The moral and political sewer, the gangsterism of Chicago politics, has now come to Capitol Hill. You can't defend this legislation on its merits. You can't. You can't even say that it's popular with the American people, that you've done such a job of spinning and selling this thing, that somehow it may be bad for the country, but the American people want it. They don't want it. They've seen through the spin. They've seen through the lies. They've seen through all the dissemination and all the propaganda. They've seen right through it. It is now nearly 60% the opposition to this country, and it is a hardening 60%. And yet that's not enough for them. Because in the end, Tony, go to sleep on this. I know these liberals better than I know my own wife. That's how much time I have to spend with them every day. I'm telling you, it's a form of torture. They go on every day about waterboarding. You want to know what real waterboarding is? Having to spend a couple hours with these guys at a cocktail party. Having to go to a press event with these guys and just listen to them drone on and on and on about the evils of America. Honestly, I'm like, you have no idea the suffering, the torture that I endure every day having to be with these liberals. But here is the thing. At their core, they are now willing to turn a blind eye to political bribery and political prostitution of the highest order. Because now the only way for them to pass this bill is to effectively bribe members of the Senate. Okay, Joe, what do you want? Okay, Ben, what do you want? Okay, Mary, what do you want? And it's bribe, bribe, bribe right down the line. But here's what they don't see coming. Mark my words, they don't see this coming. They not only don't see that they have awakened a sleeping giant. Barack Obama is doing for the conservative movement what Jimmy Carter did for the Reagan Revolution. We are amassing our soldiers as we speak. We are getting stronger and more energetic and more mobilized and bigger by the day. And pretty soon, come the spring and summer of next year, we will be like a conquering army. We will be like General Patton's forces as we smashed the National Socialists and the Nazis in Europe during World War II. We are becoming an invincible political force. And more than that, many moderate Democrats, Mary Landrieu can sell her soul all she wants. She is feeling the heat in Louisiana. Blanche Lincoln is feeling the heat in Arkansas. Ben Nelson is feeling the heat in Nebraska. Joe Lieberman has said he will not vote for a public option come hell or high water. Then the liberal Democrats will be forced. When they say no to a public option, they won't have their 60 votes. Then the liberal Democrats will have to answer this question. Will we betray our entire liberal progressive base and deny the public option and just kick it out to placate the few moderates? Or are we going to tell them, forget it, hit the road? We are going to stick with the public option and let's play a game of political chicken. Either way, the Democrats are now headed for a train wreck. Their party is splintering. They have deep divisions. For years, you've heard from the mainstream media that the great problem facing the Republican Party, it's divided. You have pro-choice Republicans, pro-life Republicans, moderate Republicans, the far-right wingers. It's a party in shambles. It's a party in disarray. No, the real party in division, the real party in disarray is the Democratic Party. It is the battle between the sane Democrats and the insane Democrats. And this schizophrenia cannot last very long. They are headed for a political train wreck. And if they should even pass this agenda, if they should pass socialized medicine, mark my words, we conservatives will tell every Republican, you want our vote in 2010? The first piece of legislation you pass is to repeal this corrupt, incompetent, and immoral bill. And no matter what happens, my friends, we will either beat him now or we will beat him in 2010. Because in the end, we stand for all that is good, true, and beautiful in America. Our cause is just. This is the civil rights struggle of our time, and we will not be denied. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, filling in for the talk radio heavyweight champion of the world, Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number to call, 1-800-449-8255. Corey in Bakersfield, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Corey?
Good, good. Hey, I just wanted to pipe in on the show debate you got going on.
Okay, go ahead. Shoot.
Yeah, I was encouraged to hear your profession of faith because I myself, believe in Jesus for the salvation of my sins. And with that, I feel like my commitment to my marriage would come before my commitment to my country. I believe that a lot of those foundational moral values would start at home. And, you know, I would question a politician selling out their country. I would question their moral values at home as well as in the office. You know what I'm saying?
Well, look, Corey, I want to thank you for that call. It's a debate that's been going on among Christians, frankly, for centuries. I take a very different view, and I'll tell you why. Yes, having good family values, being loyal to your wife, to your family, is clearly very important. Why do I say that the three key values of conservatism are God, country, and family, and in that order? Because we are all created in the likeness and image of God, all our rights and freedoms. In fact, our very existence is due to him. Yet why does country supersede family? Because if you do not have a stable country, if you do not have a successful country, if you do not have a free country, you are not able to protect your family. You can, for example, you live in Somalia, you live in Sudan, take any place in Africa. If you cannot live in a place where you are free and secure to raise your family, your devotion to them means nothing. They're going to get slaughtered. They're going to get murdered. They are going to starve to death. This is why our founding fathers understood that patriotism, along with religious faith, are the two highest public virtues. Yes, being a family man is, of course, extremely important. Many of them were very devoted family men. They were very devoted Christians. But my point is this. If you give up on your country, in the end, they're going to come for your family. Italy is the classic example. In Italy, everybody believes that family supersedes country. And look at life in Italy. It is full of corruption. It is full of poverty. It is full of hopelessness. I do not want America to go the way of Italy. I want America to go the way of America. That's why we've been the greatest country in the world, and God willing, we will continue to be. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Yeah. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Michael is off today taking some much-needed R&R, but he'll be back recharged and ready to go, both barrels loaded. Michael, I just want to thank you once again, my friend, for the incredible honor and privilege to sit in this seat and to guest host for you. You are truly not only a great radio talk show host, a brilliant host, but a kind and generous man. And I will never forget, I will never forget the kindness and generosity that you have shown to me really over the last 6 to 9 months, enabling me to fill in for you. You truly are a great man, Michael, and I want to thank you. To all of you listeners out there in the Savage Nation, please go to michaelsavage.com. There are some absolutely must-read stories. And in fact, one of them is a story that was broken on Sunday by my own paper, The Washington Times. And it is perhaps the most important story and topic that faces this country to this day, even more important than the march towards socialism, because it depends upon our very survival as a people and as a nation. If you go to michaelsavage.com, you will see a story on the right-hand side, more in the middle of the page. U.S. Islamic Center holds its own ties to Iran. The threat of homegrown terrorism is now becoming more real by the day. The threat of domestic jihad is now becoming more real by the day. And now, here, just outside of Washington, D.C., as the Washington Times reports, as my paper reports, there is now a mosque called the Islamic Education Center in Potomac, Maryland, which has direct links to the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is a mosque which used to be owned by the Alavi Foundation. For those of you not aware of the Alavi Foundation, it is a front group for the mullahs in Tehran, which claims to be a charitable organization that has bought properties in Maryland, in Manhattan, in Texas, you name it, everywhere across the country. They are buying up properties, in fact, very, very important and very much sought after, very lucrative properties. And they are portraying themselves to be a charitable organization. They are now being sued by the American government, Key Bank in Iran, that is being used. In other words, your tax dollars, your charitable contributions, when you give money and then deduct it, many Muslim Americans and many Islamist sympathizers have been giving this money to the Alavi Foundation, which is then going to this bank in Iran that is used to finance Iran's drive for a nuclear bomb and to purchase nuclear technology. This mosque, the Islamic Education Center, now pays rent to the Alavi Foundation. But more than that, as the story in the Washington Times documents and exposes, people who have attended that mosque without revealing their identity for fear of their safety have told the Washington Times that that mosque is very sympathetic and has links to the Republic of Tehran. In other words, the very same radical mullahs who want to wipe Israel off the map, led by a Nazi Persian dictator, who calls not only for the destruction of the Jews, but as he put it, my brothers, after we destroy the little Satan, we will come after the great Satan, America, and we shall bring her to her knees. These very vicious Islamists who peddle their ideology of hatred are now bent on a Muslim world empire. And this mosque, right here in the outskirts of Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, now has links to the Republic of Iran. And as one person told the Times, there are many people here who sympathize with the Republic of Iran. There are many people here who sympathize with the mullahs in Iran, with the government and regime in Iran. So much so that the director of this mosque often serves as the mediator, as the sort of the go-between guy between Iranian Americans and President Mahmoud, I want a jihad, whenever he comes to the UN General Assembly, where he stands there and peddles his hate against Israel and the United States. That director of this mosque is the go-between between Ahmadinejad and between Iranian Americans. And more than that, several weeks ago, when Iran and its brutal dictatorship were celebrating the 30th anniversary of Ayatollah Khomeini and the seizure of power in Iran, in which our embassy personnel were held hostage for 444 days, when Iran then and to this day declared war against the United States, this mosque held a celebration of that 30th anniversary. All of the Iranian diplomats in Washington, they don't have an embassy, but they have what is called an interest section, a place in Georgetown where, in case they have to meet through back channels, they're available. They attended this mosque and held a great party celebrating the virtues of the Islamic Republic. To me, this is stunning and almost bewildering. After the Fort Hood massacre, when we now know that there was a Muslim extremist in our midst, a homegrown terrorist who spent hours every day combing radical website after radical website, going around and talking to jihadists on chat rooms, because of our multiculturalism, because of our liberal political correctness, we were paralyzed and did nothing. And now there is this mosque right here in Washington, D.C., just on the outskirts in a suburb in Potomac, Maryland. Frankly, it's about 15 miles from where I live. There is now a radical mosque with links to the most brutal dictatorship, the most evil Islamist power in the world, a power that openly calls for another Holocaust, that wants to finish what Hitler started. This mosque is right here. What they are doing, we don't know, because we are afraid. Just as we were afraid to investigate Hassan properly and thoroughly, just as we were afraid to take decisive action against Hassan, for fear of being called Islamophobes, for fear of being called racists, for fear of being called politically incorrect, we are now doing the same thing with this mosque. We are not even investigating it. I bet we haven't even sent any undercover agents to find out what's being said, what's being peddled in that mosque. What are its financial transactions? No, it just sits there. Like that other mosque in Northern Virginia that Hassan frequented, where Anwar Awlaki, who now lives in Yemen, shouted jihad from the podium in that mosque and told all of the people attending, it is your duty, my Muslim brothers, to be holy warriors, to be mujahideen for Allah and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as they always say. And now we have this mosque, and yet we are afraid to ask. We are afraid to ask questions. We are afraid to investigate. We are afraid to probe. How many more Americans have to die before we confront this moral paralysis, this moral sickness of political correctness? When do we as a country, as we did during World War II, say, you know what? We now believe our principles and our values and our way of life are not only worth defending, they are worth dying for. They are values that we want to spread to the entire world, that we now proclaim openly and unequivocally and unabashedly, this is the United States of America. This is the land that has brought more freedom to more people, not only here, but around the world, than any power in human history. And we have a right to defend our way of life. We have a right to protect our citizens. We have a right to protect our democracy. And here, to me, is the mother of all points, as Saddam Hussein would put it. Liberals argue that religious freedoms, when it comes, like Islamists, that this is absolute. That no, they have a right. Hassan had a right to go on chat rooms. According to Chris Matthews, sleazeball on sleazeball. It's not a crime to contact Al-Qaeda, is it? This is a verbatim quote from one of his shows after the Fort Hood massacre. It's not a crime to contact Al-Qaeda. Yes, it is if you're a major in the army. Yes, it is if you're looking to perpetrate jihad. Of course it's a crime, stupid. A five-year-old could tell you that, sleazeball. Just as you cannot scream fire in a crowded theater, just as the rights to freedom of speech and freedom of expression are not absolute. I can't say anything I want whenever I want. If I scream fire in a crowded theater, I could lead to people being killed. In other words, the need to protect the community, the need to protect the public good, the need to protect the larger social good trumps individual rights. It's just common sense. And yet, these people in many of these radical mosques are able to ideologically yell fire, and nobody holds them accountable. Well, I now say enough is enough. It is now time that we made it clear here in America, if you do not support democratic values, if you do not support our Constitution, if you do not support our way of life, I'm sorry, get lost. We didn't ask you to come here. You are guests in our own home. And this is a Judeo-Christian country. This is a country founded upon the dignity of the individual. We do not sanction radical jihad here. We do not sanction mass murder here. Maybe this stuff plays well in the Middle East, but here in America, on American soil, no way. Benjamin Franklin said, upon achieving victory in the War for Independence, when he signed that fateful peace treaty that brought home American independence, we had now defeated the greatest empire in the world at that time, the British Empire. The sun never set on the British Empire. It was that vast. It was that powerful. Benjamin Franklin came back and said, "My citizens, I have given you a republic if you can keep it." Can we keep our republic with multiculturalism? This is the question I have for you. Can we win this war on terror with multiculturalism driving our social and cultural ideology? Should this mosque be exposed? Should it be investigated? Should we probe it in a way that we are not doing right now? I want to hear from you. Is it time to take the gloves off in the war on terror? 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. Can multiculturalism stand up to the threat of homegrown terrorism? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number to call, 1-800-449-8255. Is political correctness preventing us from standing up to domestic jihad and homegrown terrorism? I want to hear from you, the members of the Savage Nation. Let's go to Ian in New York. Ian, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you for taking my call. Jeff, I am a 25-year member of the Armed Forces of the United States. I'm still currently serving. I can tell you flat out, political correctness does prevent us from fighting the way we should, because our soldiers are told deploying, well, you're going over to win hearts and minds. You're not going to kill terrorists. That's not your mission. The other thing, Jeff, that the political correct crowd should remember, we would not have the freedoms that we have in this country if it weren't for the courage of people to be politically incorrect, i.e., sign the Constitution, grant the Emancipation Proclamation, grant the women right to vote, and grant civil rights.
Well said, Ian. Thank you for that call. I couldn't improve on that. I have to tell you, it is because of people who have been willing to fight and die for this country, Ian, people like you, who to me are heroes. You are the backbone of this country. You are the reason why, frankly, I am here today, able to speak to all of you from this microphone. It is why all of you, whatever you're doing, the freedoms that you enjoy, you're in your car, you're going home, you have a job, you have a wife, you have a family, you live on free soil, you breathe free air. It is because of people like Ian. And he is completely right. We have been sold down the river by our cowardly liberal elite. And you are seeing this now most shamelessly in Afghanistan, where instead of backing up our boys, we have told them, as we did in Vietnam, your job is to nation build. Your job is to win hearts and minds. No, our job is to win wars. Our job is to destroy the enemy. And until we wake up to that fact, we are going to lose this battle against radical Islam. This is Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. The number to call, 1-800-449-8255. If you're interested in reading my work, you can go to the Washington Times. Just go to www.washingtontimes.com, punch in my name, Jeffrey Kuhner, Jeffrey with a J, Kuhner, K-U-H, N as in Nancy, E-R. And my column runs every Sunday in the commentary section of the paper. Believe me, it will give you fantastic analysis on what's happening here in Washington and around the world. And more than that, it is a column that drives the Obama people and liberals absolutely berserk. It spins their head every Sunday. And frankly, it's a great way to start your Sunday. Before you go to church, before you go to your whatever religious New York, John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
What I wanted to say was that as far as this cold-blooded first-degree killer is concerned, as Michael would say, this despicable piece of human garbage, he's forfeited his right as a citizen, and even as a citizen of the Earth. He doesn't belong on Earth anymore. He should be swiftly with dispatch that we can by whatever means possible. I mean, this guy has no rights. He's not a human being. He's a devil incarnate. There's only one thing worse than a devil incarnate, an insane devil incarnate.
John, I have to tell you, to me, it is absolutely stunning that here you have a guy like Nidal Hassan. We know he murdered those 13 men and women. We know he committed the massacre at Fort Hood. We know there are 29 wounded because of him. We know he was in contact with people in Al-Qaeda. We know he was in contact with radical imams who recruit for Al-Qaeda. If this is not a domestic terrorist, if this is not a homegrown terrorist, then nothing is. Then terrorism has no meaning. Homegrown terrorism has no meaning. And yet, he is going to use our judicial system, our legal system against us. And now he's going to claim insanity. And this is the part that, John, I can't wrap my mind around this. As I just mentioned before the break, here in Washington, D.C., we have a mosque just outside of the Capitol with links to the Republic of Iran. God knows only what is being said there. This is one of the most brutal, repressive, dangerous regimes on the face of the earth. Yet that doesn't cause any alarm bells to ring. For the liberal elite in that country, John, relax. Relax. So what? 3,000 people died on 9/11. Hey, we'll just send Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to a civilian court. Let them play with it. Relax about Hassan. You're all uptight. So what? There was a massacre. Don't worry. That's the price we have to pay to be Americans. Yet, on something like global. See, there's no alarmism when it comes to homegrown terrorism. No, no, let's not rush to judgment. Let's not be alarmist. But when it comes to global warming, what have we been hearing about for the last 10 years? The sky is going to fall. The ice caps are going to melt. Sea levels are going to rise. There's going to be massive flooding. New York will be underwater. LA will be underwater. Everything is going to be underwater. Hurricanes, droughts, hundreds of millions of people dying of starvation. You have Al Gore, the great prophet, the second messiah to the first messiah, Osama bin Laden. Barack Obama. For years, it's Noah's Ark. It's biblical. The whole world's going to come to an end unless we confront global warming. And just late last week and over the weekend, the scandal of all scandals, the blockbuster of all blockbusters, it's all been a myth. It's all been a lie. One giant fraud and hoax perpetrated upon the people of the United States and the people of Europe. Here in the United States, our top supposed climate scientists have been in contact with the University of East Anglia in Britain. And in that University of East Anglia, there is the Research Center Unit. It sounds innocuous, but in fact, this is where the leading climate scientists have been working. This is where the UN, this is where the American government, this is where the British government, the European Union, all the governments of the world have been getting their information on global warming. And now, hackers have done this world a huge favor by breaking into their computer servers at that university. They have now put over 1,000 emails and 3,000 documents posted on the internet. And what do they show? That these leading climate scientists deliberately manipulated and lied and fabricated the data. You have key scientists writing to one another and saying, we have to, quote, put in a trick. We have to change the charts. We have to, the world is cooling. It's not warming. As one scientist said to another, this is a travesty. What are we going to do? Our entire theory is being imploded by the scientific evidence. And as I've pointed out in column after column, and every time I'm on talk radio, whenever I get a chance, the Earth is not warming. It's been cooling for the last 10 years. So the question I have to people like Barack Obama, to people like Al Gore, to all the political prophets and messiahs out there, to the high priests of liberalism, you have been peddling lies and apocalyptic nonsense. You have been lying to the American people, perpetrating one of the greatest frauds in the history of the world, telling us that we can't drive our SUVs, we can't put on the air conditioner, hell, we can't even eat meat or chicken. Apparently that emits, I kid you not, the flatulence from cows apparently emits too much CO2 emissions. This is the level what they're reducing us to. They want to put us back into the Stone Age for a lie. They have been cooking the books. But that, there's plenty of alarmism. About a fake threat, there's plenty of alarmism. The world's going to come to an end. We got to pass cap and trade. Nancy Pelosi passed it in the House. Obama's banging the table. He's saying after health care, it's amnesty for illegals. And after amnesty for illegals, it's got to be cap and trade. Because the big danger in the world, you see, you don't get it, guys. You don't get it. To the liberal elite, the big threat to the world is not Major Nidal Hassan. No. It's not Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. It's not Osama bin Laden. It's not the jihadists in the caves of Afghanistan, or the suicide bombers in Iraq, or the mullahs in Iran. No, no. It's your car. It's your SUV. It's your Ford pickup truck. It's the Big Macs you're eating all the time. It's your big homes. It's American consumerism. You see, you, America, you're the root of all evil. You're the problem in the world, not the jihadists. You. This is the perversity and the sickness of modern liberalism. because at its core, liberalism is a form of self-loathing and self-hatred. Let me repeat that. Liberalism is a form of self-hatred and self-loathing. This explains why Barack Obama feels almost the perverse need to apologize for America everywhere he goes. This is why Al Gore has to say to everybody that will listen to him, American capitalism is going to destroy the earth. They are ashamed of their own country. They hate their own country. And this is why, until we defeat the ideology of liberalism, we can never defeat radical jihad. Because liberalism is the ideology of suicide. And unless we stop this self-loathing and this self-hatred, we as a people who have now embarked upon civilizational suicide cannot stand up to a ruthless enemy that wants to blow us to smithereens. This is now the clash in front of us. And I am telling you, secular liberalism cannot defeat radical Islam. There is only one thing that can defeat radical Islam, and that is American patriotism. That is American nationalism. That is American conservatism. We are the past, we are the present, and we are the future of America. And it's about time somebody said it. John in Houston, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. We need more politicians with your mindset, sir.
Oh, thank you, John.
And I really enjoy your analysis. And, the big question is are we going to later down the trail say we could have, but we didn't?
John, that is my big fear. I think that when future generations look upon us, they will ask themselves two overriding questions, and they are the two key questions of our time. Every generation has to fight for its freedom in this country. Ronald Reagan said it beautifully in the mid-1960s when he became governor of California. Freedom is not a birthright. Freedom is not given to you by inheritance. It is something that has to be earned and fought for every generation. And once you forget it, you never have it back. Ancient Rome lost its freedom. Ancient Greece lost its freedom. We in the West are slowly losing our freedom. And now future generations will ask themselves, why did we, the most prosperous, successful, free market, capitalist country in the history of the world, we have solved the problem of poverty. The problem in this country is not starvation, it's obesity. Even our poor, the problem with many poor people, they have bad eating habits. What we consider poor, they have a television set. They have air conditioning. They have even a car. This is considered above the this is considered below the poverty line. This is how wealthy and successful we have become. And yet, we are now imposing socialism upon ourselves. We are now going to impose the worst form of medical care you can possibly impose upon a people, nationalized medicine. We are going to ration ourselves into oblivion. Why? As we are spreading ruin and socialism at home, we are counseling appeasement and defeatism abroad. We are not willing to stand up and even call evil by its name. Never mind fight it. We can't even call it by its name. What would our founding fathers think of us? What would those who fought in the Civil War to unify and unite this country think of us? What would those who gave up everything in World War I, who gave up everything in World War II? Remember, these are people who went by the millions to a foreign land, left their families and their friends behind, and made the ultimate sacrifice to defend our freedom, to defend our civilization. And yet, there's no draft. You and I are never going to be drafted into an army. We have an all-volunteer force. They are fighting and dying for us. All we have to do is say, we politically support you. We are behind you. We back you. That's it. That's it. That is all that is asked of us. And yet this is too much. This is too much of an exertion because we're all too busy watching cable television. We're all too busy watching one Hollywood porn film after another because we're all too busy with our narcissistic, self-absorbed lives, with all of the promiscuity, all of the celebrity culture, all of the pornography, all of the drugs, everything that is inundating our culture. We are too busy leading a selfish life to look beyond our own surroundings and see what is at stake into oblivion. We are throwing our capitalist economy down the toilet. We are throwing our moral inheritance as a people, our great Judeo-Christian values that sustained us, that fortified us, that gave us the backbone and the stomach to defeat enemy after enemy, right down the drain. We can't even raise a family anymore. I can't tell you how many people I meet. Forget one divorce. They're on three or four divorces. It's almost like a badge of honor. I met one guy at a party in D.C., I swear to you. I said, hi. We started talking a little bit. Hey, you married? I said, yeah, my wife, you know, high school sweethearts. He said, hey, I'm on my fourth wife. And if I'm lucky, I may have a few more to go. This is what we've become? This, the United States of America? And now they are laughing at us. The world is laughing at us. But now they're going to be in for a rude awakening. Because this generation, I truly believe, is now realizing that freedom isn't free. And if we do not seize our destiny, the leftists and the radical Islamists will. And believe me, it will be a nightmare world. If you love your children, if you love your grandchildren, hell, if you love yourself, stand up and defend conservative values. Stand up and defend what Michael Savage calls borders, language, and culture. Because, my friends, our back is now up against the wall. And now it's time to be counted. And I am telling you, here in Washington, D.C., I will fight for you, the American people. And let me just say this to Barack Obama. Mr. Obama, unlike you, I am not a coward. I don't stand there and hide behind my aides. I don't stand there and throw Americans into a war that you have no intention of winning in Afghanistan. I don't stand there and seek glory or fame. I seek one thing and one thing only, and that is justice. Because I know how great this country is. And I want you to know something. You can use all of your Chicago sleazy politics, but I am coming for you, sir. I am coming for you, Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. My friends, I meant every word what I said in that last segment. As a journalist, I am going to hold Barack Obama accountable at every turn. I am going to beat the drums, warning people about his dangerous administration and their social, whether it be on the air or as a columnist. I will continue to speak truth to power, and I will not stop. Let's go to Lori in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Lori, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I just wanted to say to my fellow Americans to please take off your blinders, turn back to God. Ever since this country turned from God, this is what we get. And it's as simple as that. The answer is as simple as that. No one can see right from wrong anymore, and that is why. Everything is just upside down and inside out. And no one knows what they're doing. And, you know,
Lori, very well said. And I want to thank you for that call. Lori, the great Russian novelist and philosopher Fyodor Dostoevsky once wrote, this was over 100 years ago, where he saw all of the evils of the 20th century. He saw fascism. He saw socialism. He saw atheism. He saw even religious fanaticism. He saw all of it. He said, once you remove God, everything is permissible. And this is what is slowly happening in the United States and across the Western world. We have removed God. And in its place has now come a shallow secular humanism that purports to be just and humane, but really underneath champions the culture of death. It champions abortion on demand. It champions doctor-assisted suicide. It champions civilizational suicide. And that's why we as conservatives have to say, you have to put God back in America and God back in conservatism. May God bless all of you. Michael, thank you so much for this great opportunity. And may God bless the United States of America. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.